It's like Transformers and Mask had a baby. Then let Mr. Feeny be his brain. We're talking Knight Rider. Hit it. It was 1982. Graceland opened to the public. Paul McCartney and Stevie Wonder sang Ebony and Ivory. James T. Kirk screamed, "Con!" iconically. And Michael Knight drove a high-tech car around helping all those in need. I'm your host, Jerry D., with another episode of Totally Rad Christmas, the podcast that talks all things Christmas in the 80s. Toys, movies, specials, music, and fads. If it was gnarly during Christmas in the 80s, we got it covered. Now, joining me are two very special guests. You might know them as two members of the Saturday Morning Mafia, Todd and Michael. Guys, how are y'all doing?
Doing well.
Good. How are you?
You know, I'm making it here. Just taking it day by day, I think. Anything new going on with you guys?
I'm just, like I said, day by day.
Pretty much same here, yep.
Yep.
No, just keeping busy, getting ready for the 4th of July, getting ready for the Burr months. They'll be coming very soon. Yes. Ready for pumpkins.
Yep.
Yeah, I actually, so I went to go make some tea before we started recording here, and I ran out of tea. I didn't have any more, except I found one last bag of pumpkin spice tea.
There you go.
So I'm drinking my pumpkin spice ready for, getting ready for the 4th of July.
Nice. So we'll have pumpkin spice lattes by the end of next month, so it's yes. Coming.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, they keep coming and earlier. So yep. Yeah, I don't mind. I like the pumpkin.
No, exactly.
Uh-huh. Yeah, we have a local bakery that does a pumpkin ooey gooey butter cake, and I cannot wait for it.
That sounds awesome.
It is. It sounds just as good. It tastes just as good as it sounds. When I get a piece, I'll make sure to brag and showboat all over the internet.
Yes, please. We'll live vicariously through you.
Exactly.
Yep. Yeah. Oh, man. So I have to ask, what do you guys remember about Knight Rider? Like, what are your general thoughts and feelings on Knight Rider?
It was huge to me. That was my favorite show growing up. And I might have been 1983. I went to Universal Studios in California, and I sat in a kit, which was like the highlight of my very young life.
That is awesome.
So, and then somewhere I got the blueprints. We mailed away for them, but I got the blueprints to Kit, which was just a trifold, basically brochure. Mm-hmm. So it was a big deal for me.
Wow. Mail away. I mean, it always felt like, and I know Todd, you and I talked about this in the G.I. Joe episode, but I remember mailing things away always seemed like it took forever.
Yes, uh-huh. Yes it did.
Before they came. It did. And there was probably only like 6 weeks, you know, but mm-hmm. But it always seemed like it was years and years. And then finally it came, and just the excitement.
I got it open and you thought, I have a piece of paper. I didn't think that, but now it's like, you know, I have a piece of paper.
It's a crummy commercial.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. That scene totally does justice to what we did, what we've lived through as kids. Yeah.
That's one of my favorite all-time movie quotes is, "I left the bathroom wiser."
I feel like that could be applied many, many times.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was for me personally. It was a big deal.
Yeah, thinking about Knight Rider and preparing, I realized I don't remember many of the individual stories. I remember watching it like every week with mm-hmm. the whole family. We'd pop popcorn and we'd watch, you know, Knight Rider every week, and I remember really liking it. But it's like I was just waiting to get to watch Kit do his thing.
Yeah.
You know, I don't remember away from the car, out of the car moments that much. So the one story I really remember, and I think it was like a two-parter or three-part series, is when they had the evil kit car.
Oh, yeah, car.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, car, yeah.
Yeah, and I remember legitimately being like worried and afraid that things weren't going to work out well, you know.
Yeah. That's some good writing then.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Well, I was 6 or 7 years old, so it probably didn't take a whole lot, but
it's funny because I know I watched it. But it was the same. It was like with the Dukes of Hazzard that I talked about last week. It, I remember my cousins watching it more than actually remember watching it myself.
Right.
And I remember, you know, whenever I was at their house or my grandma's house, and they would be watching it, and I would just stay whenever there was like an awesome car chase, and then or mm-hmm. whenever Kit would do something, and then when it was back to the talking, I was like, all right, and then I'd go mm-hmm. play. Yeah. It was pretty much the same thing with the Dukes. You know, I'd stay for the cool car chases and jumps, and then I'd go play.
I did the same thing, and then the Incredible Hulk came on, I think, after the Dukes of Hazzard. So it's like I'd wait till like the last 20 minutes when the Incredible Hulk was there.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't care about the setup. You know. You know, I did the same thing. And I was trying to remember, because I remember like watching this every week, right? Watching Knight Rider every week and popping popcorn. But then we did that with Airwolf too.
It
was on. Airwolf, you know, the A team. So either they were all on the same night, or we just pop popcorn every night and watch TV. I haven't decided which one's true yet. So,
there's a new channel. We have on air, we don't have cable. And there's a new. Channel called Charge TV, and from 2 to 5 or whatever, 2 to 4, they show straight Knight Rider episodes.
Nice.
And I've been watching them religiously, and I don't remember any of the stories except for Carr.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's the only one I remember as well.
So it's funny because so Knight Rider aired from 82 to 86. And, you know, 4 seasons. And I don't really remember any of the individual stories, but there was a lot about like the basic plot that I didn't remember either until I started looking it up and doing some research for the show. So, of course, David Hasselhoff is the star. You know, he's Michael Knight. But what I didn't remember was that Michael Knight's not even his real name. Right. So he was actually Michael Long, who was an LAPD detective. That he was a Green Beret counterintelligence veteran in the Vietnam War, and then he was discharged, and he became a detective, and then somehow in the Army he'd gotten like a metal plate due to like an accident in the war, you know, an injury, and so he'd gotten a metal plate in his head, and then when he was a detective like 10 years later, he got shot, and while it messed him up, it didn't kill him because of that metal plate, and so then. The, you know, Wilton Knight, who was like the head of this, you know, this billionaire, like Elon Musk kind of guy. he started, you know, this, the Foundation for Law and Government, and they had this program going on. And so they used him and they reconstructed his face kind of based on young pictures of Wilton Knight and also pictures of his son. And so he kind of resembles his son, but so they gave him the new identity of Michael Knight. Like this whole backstory, I don't remember this at all.
I don't either.
Well, I noticed like last week that the Foundation of Law and Government is FLAG.
FLAG, I
never,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Never got that.
So they developed this supercomputer, and they kind of essentially put him into a car. But their other huge breakthrough was like this crazy plasteel.
The polymer.
Polymer, that they covered, you know, Kit with, and it makes him virtually indestructible. And not only do they cover like his frame, but they like cover everything. So like even the tires and the undercarriage, and so he can like drive over bombs and stop them from exploding and stuff like that. And I mean, no wonder this guy's a billionaire, because I mean, if you create something like that, you know. But yeah, so essentially they took the supercomputer and just put it in a car. And that's how we get Kit. And this car is amazing. I mean, it's like like better than the Batmobile, because it can do so many more things. Mm-hmm. I mean, I love the Batmobile. Yep. It's like my favorite vehicle of all time. But reading about Kit and you know, remembering and watching all the shows again, I mean, he just does so much more. Mm-hmm. it's crazy.
Yeah. It's almost like he has a trick of the week too. It's like, oh, I didn't know you could do that till
yeah.
you needed it
yes,
this week.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was telling Michael, it's like, you know, whatever the plot needed him to do, he could do.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Write Kit in the script.
Yeah, exactly. So. Yep.
Yeah.
And then Kit all of a sudden can fly. Or
yeah,
whatever.
Exactly. Right. He can see 360 degrees around, 4 miles down the road, mm-hmm. 40 miles, you know, 4 miles up in the sky.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. We'll get into all the stuff, the cool stuff yeah. Kit can do for sure.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yep.
Oh, man. So the reason we're talking Knight Rider is not only was it awesome, but they actually have a Christmas episode in season two. So this is when Bonnie wasn't there, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
It was the other girl.
April.
And I don't remember her name. Shame on me. I didn't write it down.
It was April.
April. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's it. Mm-hmm. There you go. But yeah, so Bonnie wasn't in this one. And I don't even remember why they got rid of her. I just remember that she left, and then it was because of a lot of like the huge fan backlash and Hasselhoff himself that brought her back. But she was like such a part of it in my memory that I didn't even remember that she was replaced at all.
Yeah, I didn't either.
Yeah. I thought it was just the same girl the whole time.
Yep.
Yeah.
But, oh man. But this episode that we're going to be talking about it's really cool. It's a cool episode. Although I gotta say, I don't know if it would fly nowadays. I think PC culture would have some words with it because they use the word gypsy a lot.
A lot. Yes.
Well, it's like he's dressed like a hobo. The other gypsies aren't when he gets to that point. He's dressed like a hobo, mm-hmm. and but they played like Greek music when they introduced that character.
Yeah,
they had to, you know.
Yeah. I just don't know. Early on, they called him a gypsy, and I'm like, I had no idea what distinguished him enough to be called a gypsy. It's just kind of, I guess they just needed that for the plot.
Yeah, they just needed someone that you know could roam. Was kind of didn't really have a home, kind mm-hmm. of. I mean, it's problematic by today's standards. Yeah. Back then, I mean, you could get away with a lot more, you know.
Yes.
So, but I love another thing that I'd forgotten about Knight Rider in general is that they did use a lot of like popular songs.
That's the first thing I noticed is on the very first few seconds you hear "Yes" is
Owner of a Lonely
Heart. I'm mm-hmm. thinking, what kind of budget did this TV show have?
Well, and listening to it, because I went back and listened to it again, and it's not the actual song. No. I mean, it's the song, but it's not the
singer.
It's not the, not Yes singing it. Same thing with Gypsy
Fleetwood Mac Gypsy. That was above and beyond.
Yeah.
That was a little over the top there.
Well, whoever covered it did a very good job.
They did a great job. Yeah.
Because, you know, I just seen it just a little bit ago and I couldn't tell the difference.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. I went back and listened to it again and it's definitely not them, but they're good covers. They really are. They're close. They tried to get as close as they could.
So
and it kind of reminds me of the claymation.
I have the tiger.
I have the tiger. Yeah, that's the other one.
Yep. Uh-huh.
But it kind of reminds me of like the claymation Christmas celebration special, mm-hmm. Because they bought the rights to the Temptation song. You know, Temptation singing Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Mm-hmm. But then they hired another group to actually perform it. And the other group was like trying to put their own spin on it. And of course, Will Vinton was like, no, you got it. It's got to be like note mm-hmm. for note, recreate it. So, I mean, it was kind of that thing. You're right. They did like a tremendous job.
Yeah.
But that was the first thing I thought, you know, it was Owner of a Lonely Heart.
Yeah.
I mean, Survivor, Gypsy, like these are expensive songs, I'm sure.
Right. I don't listen to enough of those tunes every day to be able to, you know, spot the, the fakes or,
but they do that in almost every episode.
Yeah,
so it's pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah, they must have had a pretty good music supervisor guy.
Well, it was a Glenn Larson production, so you got to give it your all.
Well, that's true. Yep. Oh, man. The other thing is that this is one of those Christmas specials that is Christmassy, but is not very Christmassy at the same time. So you don't really get, at least for me, I didn't get a lot of Christmas feels from it. But it's like there's always mentioning something about Christmas. I mean, Kit and Michael had the whole conversation about what to get for presents. Yeah. You know, he makes a comment about a Donner and Blitzen. There's a, yeah. You know, like they don't really seem like they're full of the Christmas spirit, do they, Kit? You know, that there's all these little things here and there. But like, if you had taken those out, I don't think it would have made a difference.
Right. Yeah, I was lucky enough to be on Tim's podcast not long ago and do Lethal Weapon, and I had mentioned that he kind of forgot Lethal Weapon, that Christmas was taking place because it was so busy and you were all over the place. And this episode was the same way. You kind of forgot it was Christmas at time because you were just moving from point A to point B, back to point A to point C, back to point B.
Jerry mentioned a couple of them, but I kind of jotted down Knight Rider's tips to make an episode Christmassy. Ooh, basically, mention anything Christmas related when it doesn't call for it.
Right.
Yep. Those guys don't have the Christmas spirit you mentioned. And let's make like Donner and Blitzen before Kit jumped. I'll be sure there's a Saint Nick when he's talking to April. And then he says, you know, those jokers are starting to take the thrill out of Christmas for me. It's like, okay, it's a Christmas episode.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to start throwing random things like that just in normal conversations every
right.
day.
Right.
Like, uh-oh. Like, oh no, we're running late. Come on, let's make like Donner and Blitzen.
I say go for it.
Might as well. Let's make it a thing.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
So the overall plot of the special is a bank robbery happens. You know, some guys rob a bank. A witness who happens to be of gypsy origin or Romani or I don't
Finger
know,
quotes.
However you want to say it. That's the is PC, I suppose. I don't know, but so he witnesses their escape and kind of takes something from them that would incriminate them. Michael has to swoop in and save the day. That's like the bare bones.
Right.
You know, plot. But we'll really get into it in a bit. But I mean, it kind of follows. I mean, it's similar in structure to most of the other episodes where, you know, Michael comes in and someone's in trouble and he ends up saving the day. And he and Kit, of course, you know, kind of have a little they get into it, I guess, a little bit. And then shenanigans ensue and the day is saved.
Well, I thought this one would be different because in the beginning of the episode, it's all about the Christmas ball or the dinner. And then it just disappears.
Right.
So.
Yeah. They do mention that when he's talking with, is it Devin? Is that right?
Right.
Yeah, Devin and April call him.
Right.
About his tux.
To get a tux. Yeah, he has to, they have to get the tux ready to be at this big ball that there's going to be all sorts of, socialites and, you know, big wigs there. And so he has to attend. And I guess I think they mentioned that there was one like the year before that he didn't go to. And
right.
Yeah.
So they're like, you got to be there. And even Kit says something like, well, you're going this year because I promised.
Yeah.
Right.
It's like classic Kit.
Devin shows Michael this tuxedo with ruffles on the shirt saying that'll be the tux he'll wear if he doesn't find his own.
And he'll be seated next to the Lady Pinwall and the Duchess of Chipstead.
Duchess of Chipstead.
Which is okay. All right.
Yeah, why not? I don't know. So yeah, he's on his way, and that's when we get the bank robbery. And they're dressed like clowns, and there's like a big van with circus, and they one of the robbers steals a gold pocket watch from, is it the bank manager, I believe?
Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. And the bank manager confused me a little bit because I thought he was in on the robbery for a minute.
Oh, okay.
Oh, really?
Because he when the clown van pulled up, he like runs over there and then he backs up to the passenger door of the van. He's like, "You guys are late." Like he was getting ready to let that guy take him hostage. And I thought, yeah. Oh, the bank manager's in on it. So it was going to have a little bit of a twist, but then they steal his watch. And I'm thinking, why are they stealing his watch if he's in on it? But then yeah. We never see the bank manager again. So
yeah,
I guess they had ordered clowns for the Christmas opening of the bank.
What it is. Yeah. who orders clowns for a Christmas opening of the bank? Exactly. It's the 80s, man. Yeah.
I can't say anything. There's no excuse.
But yeah, so they steal his watch, and as I mentioned, Tino, who was the gypsy boy, he kind of sees what's going on. He kind of follows him, and they do this classic, you know, thing where he's walking by and he checks, he sees a present in the car and he like tries to open the car door, but it's locked. And so, but then, hey, there's a payphone there. So then he checks the, checks it for change, and he ends up following him. And that's when he sees them. They're like ditching their costumes, ditching the van. They'd already wrapped all the money and everything in presents, and they're going, and the guy puts the pocket watch in his pocket. And as one of those character actors, I know he came out in Vice Versa. Okay. I remember him from Vice Versa and something else that I can't quite figure out. And
he was definitely familiar.
Mm-hmm. And he kind of had like a Dan Hedaya kind of vibe.
Yeah.
And but so he puts the watch in his pocket and Tino can see the chain hanging out. So he does the thing where the classic pickpocket move where he like bumps into him and takes it. And so he leaves and the guy realizes that, you know, the leader of the gang realizes like that watch can tie us back to the bank. So we got to get rid of it. And then, it's not there. Tino took it. And so, so that's when he collides with Michael. And now Michael's going to take over and help him out. So we get a classic, you know, oh, my leg. You know, he kind of fakes like he's injured just to get away from the guys that were chasing him. Mm-hmm. And Michael's like, are you okay? Let me get you to hospital. And we get this weird thing where the guys that were chasing him, they like drive up right beside him and kind
of parallel.
Like they give him the shifty eye. It's like if you're trying to, I mean, like I get you need this watch, but I mean, if you're trying to like lay low, especially after like a robbery, why would you do that to someone? Mm-hmm. That's like number one suspicious sign, you know?
Yeah. That was weird. That was a weird moment. It was like, what are they doing?
Yeah.
So, yep.
And that's kind of what tips Michael off that, okay, I think these guys are hassling. Yeah. I mean, he even says like, are those guys hassling you? Yeah. Yep. And of course, Tino right away starts saying like, no, you know, or yeah, they're gangs or what does he call them? He calls them like toughs or something like that.
And yeah.
It's some 80s slang. And then he goes, you know, I was on their turf. And then of course Kit being awesome can scan him and like he's like he doesn't have any broken, there's no broken bones, so he's lying. He's got a gold watch in his pocket, so something's fishy, you know. And there was a bank robbery and some of the things that were taken, one of them was a gold watch, so don't trust this guy. And so that's when they get into it and he realizes, okay, yeah, something happens and okay, this kid's in on it. Let's go to the police. Yep. And I mean, it's funny because it's very much a step-by-step, like, okay, this happens and this happens and this happens, you know, nothing's really like super fluid, but it's still awesome. I don't know what it is so far. It's still pretty awesome, especially because as they're figuring all this out, the bad guys that, you know, drove up, and we're parallel to them, they kind of somehow turn around and now they're like going to play chicken with him. Uh-huh. And Michael's like, don't worry about it. And so he turbo boosts and jumps over the car. And
like Donovan Blitzer.
Yeah.
I didn't think turbo boost meant jump.
Yeah, I didn't either. No. Apparently, maybe the turbo boosters are like under the tire.
Right. I guess that's right. Just depends on where they're located at.
Yeah.
The best part about watching any of those kit jumps is just like the Dukes of Hazzard. You can see the angle, and it's not going to end pretty.
Right.
And yes. Then they go to a different shot, and then it ends a little bit nicer.
Mm-hmm. Which makes me wonder about Kit's suspension. You know, like
it's coated in the polymer. It's fine.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Well, that just means they won't break, but
yeah.
Well, yeah, I guess.
I just wonder how many cars. I'm sure we could find out, but I wonder mm-hmm. how many kits there actually were. Because, like, I know that the General Lee had a ton of them.
Yeah.
Because of that reason.
Well, and then especially in the General Lee, and I know in Knight Rider also they ended up using miniatures.
Yes.
For some of those stunts as well.
And there are more miniatures the later the series got.
Oh yeah.
Like in that last season with the, anyway, that, I don't want to get too far off the subject, but the new Super Pursuit.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I remember
there's
that.
Lots mm-hmm. of models then.
Yeah. Yeah. The downside, I mean, especially with car chases and things like that, is you can almost always tell when a model's being used compared to yes. like the actual stunts. Now, of course, it's a lot cheaper. So it makes sense, you know, but it just, you kind of lose that something that makes the show or the movie, you know, great to begin with.
Well, that's us as, you know, 40-year-olds looking at it as opposed
true,
to
yeah.
the little kids.
That's true. Yeah, as like six or 7-year-olds or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, it's awesome either way. Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. So.
So they go to the police. Is that right? And then.
Yes.
Okay. And then.
There were 23 kit cars used for the series.
23? Oh, okay. 23. Oh, wow.
Okay.
That makes
Thank
sense.
Thank you. That was, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that makes sense. I mean, I would imagine they'd be, especially with all the jumps, they'd be having to work on the
There was an episode I watched today where they had the camera kind of outside the rear wheel.
Mm-hmm.
And you could see it was going to, I mean, the nose was going to impact mm-hmm. at like a 90-degree angle. And then they went to another shot where it softly lands. So.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I think when you're going to do a jump, you're pretty much, you know, that your shocks are going to be shot for a while. Okay, next. And then you work on that car while you use another one. So.
Yep. 23. That's wow.
Yeah. Can you imagine 23 Trans Ams? I mean,
yeah.
Back in the day, I would have loved to have just one.
Well, I'm thinking, guys, they're out there somewhere.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. This reminds me, like, back in high school, I drove this little black 94 Nissan Sentra, and they used to call it the Batmobile because it was all black.
Yeah.
And I remember, you know, I really wanted it to be the Batmobile. And, of course, it wasn't, but it was just tiny little thing that's like, yep. Oh, man. But anyway, so Michael takes Tino to his sister, and that's where we meet. It turns out his sister has like an ex-boyfriend that's trying to get back with her, and who yeah. later on will become important to the plot. But one thing we did forget to mention was that the robbers, you know, after Michael puts Tino in his car, the crooks are like, well, I recognize that kid. He hangs around those gypsy. He's one of those gypsy yes. kids or something like
yes.
that. So that's why they're able to track down later on. They track down the ex-boyfriend of Tino's sister, and they make a deal with him, like, hey, we'll give you some money if you can tell us anything about this kid here. He's gonna rat him out.
Yeah. That ends that relationship.
Yeah exactly. Oh man. So. I mean, it's like one of those perfectly Like it just works out perfectly kind of plot points, you know.
I just love seeing the open shirt, the big collar, you know, anyway.
With the stripes, you got it, yeah.
Yes.
Classic look, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. And it turns out that Tino's always wanted to live with their uncle. Mm-hmm. He kind of not worships him, but he kind of really, you know, really respects him and his lifestyle. And he's like the leader of like a band of gypsies that live somewhere far, which, by the way, they drive a super long time. I mean, it seems like a long time to get there. Like it's night and everything. Yes.
Yeah.
And then on the way back, I mean, it seems like it takes them no time, which, you know, I,
17 minutes.
Yeah.
That is in the episode. How long are we going to be there? Well, it's going to take like 17 minutes, Michael.
Oh, about the time back and forth. It's where it, when Michael stops to let the kid drive Kit, that to me, that felt like it was like the halfway point there. Now, there was nothing in the show that said that or anything. It's just kind of how I felt that it was about halfway there. And then that was, and then that seemed to be about the same location that they got to when Kit said they had like 17 minutes left.
Mm-hmm.
But Kit did say he was going as fast as he could, which is like, according to the intro of Knight Rider, it's like what, 212 miles an hour is what the
speedometer gets like up that. To. Yeah.
You know, so if he's going that fast, then
it's a long way.
Yeah.
But it's, yeah, it just seems like he gets there. I mean, it seems like it takes a lot longer,
right?
You know, to get there than it does on the way back. Yeah. Although I have noticed, even just driving long distances myself, it always seems like it takes longer to get somewhere than it does on the way back.
Right.
Yeah, it's true.
So, I'm going to say that's what happened. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So he takes him to the uncle's house and, or actually doesn't he like run away or something? And they like go find him.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. They, yeah, he runs away and then, he built a shack on a construction site.
That's right.
That's right. Yeah.
And then the bank robbers shake down his sister's ex-boyfriend.
Yes.
For money, or they give him money to tell him where he's at.
Yeah.
So.
And he does. Michael,
yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, and Michael and his sister look for him around the store, and then she remembers he lives in a shack built on a construction site. It's like, oh, why didn't you think of that first? You know? So Michael goes to investigate. He goes into the shack while the kid takes off out the back door of it. And then the bank robbers come and they just run over the shack with their car. And, but they only hit half of it. So
he's okay.
So Michael's okay.
Yep.
Spoiler alert. Michael Knight does not die in this
episode. He does not. No, the show goes on for more seasons.
He might have had a concussion,
right,
but he did not die.
Yeah. So that's when he agrees to take him to his uncle's if
right.
in exchange for Tino allowed to be drive Kit
right.
for a little bit. Yeah.
Right.
And so you're right. Yeah. They right before they get there, they kind of stop and he drives him around. Everything's cool. And then they get to the gypsy camp.
Right.
I can't believe I'm saying gypsy camp in 2020.
But, right.
It's the rest stop.
So they get to their little camp or civilization or whatever. Uh-huh. And so he's like, hey, here's your uncle. Everything's cool. But it's not really cool.
Nope.
Because those guys show up and they bribe the uncle.
Yep.
And luckily this one of the old ladies in the camp overhears, because that's gonna be important later.
Yes.
Yep.
So Michael goes back, everything's awesome, and I love how Michael's always like the womanizer, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so he and the sister kind of eyeing each other. And April, I think, even makes a comment about it, doesn't she?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, because she's we stopped to see a girl or a sister, and she's like, okay, something's again.
Yeah.
So
I always, and you know, not to get off topic, but I always wanted Michael and Bonnie to kind of get together and, you know, I wish they had, but I know, one thing that I did like about Michael Knight and his backstory is that it was very much like a James Bond kind of thing. So he ended up getting married, but she was killed on their wedding day. So, I mean, it's very much James Bond, you know, that's exactly what happened with him. So I wonder if that like informed his whole relationship, you know, ability after that.
Yeah, maybe. But April Bonnie was a great Miss Plenty Penny.
Yeah, she was. Yeah.
That's about what it is. Although she's more technical.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, very much so.
Yeah.
So he goes back to see her. They, and then together they drive up to the camp because something's fishy because of the ex-boyfriend, right?
Right.
Yep. Yes. Mm-hmm. And realize he sold him out. Which, by the way, guys, just so you know, if you're ever trying to get back with your ex, don't sell out, you know, her family in any way.
Yeah.
That's like the worst thing to do.
Yeah.
It's like, well, hey, I got money now.
Yeah.
No, don't do that.
Yeah.
Just, that's some relationship advice from the Saturday morning.
Or going back a little earlier, don't stop by your exes to ask for money.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't do that first. And then second, don't sell out her family and say, hey, by the way, I have money now.
Oh,
especially not at Christmas time.
Yeah.
So they drive back up there. They manage to track down they drive back up to where the camp was originally located. It's gone, but based on the soil and you know, deposits of
oil
and fluids and things like that, they're able to track them. And they stop, and of course the uncle gets like super offended, like, I'm the leader of these gypsies. Why would you, like, how dare you accuse me of something? And then the old lady who earlier overheard everything says, yes, you did. I saw you. I heard you. And so then they all like kind of turn on him.
Right. Yep. Right.
And I love Michael. He's right there. He's like, I'm going to let them deal with you.
Right.
But they, you know, they get him confess kind of where they're going, and then he goes to save the day.
Yeah. The way they followed the gypsies is because there's an oil leak in the car.
Oil leak, yeah.
And they, Kit can smell oil or follow the oil leak on the road.
Kit has an olfactory sensor.
And they are driving so slow. Following those oil spills on the road. It's
like, well, I'm guessing Kit's sensor only works, you know.
Right.
It's not great as his other sensors are.
Right.
It is funny that he can smell it though. Yeah.
Right.
That's an odd thing. It couldn't be like you'd like.
Well,
like,
he says, you know, how do bloodhounds? You know, I those animals are not disgusting, but you know. Yeah. He makes a dig at bloodhounds because they're doing the same, you know, they were bred to do the same thing.
Yeah. I love Kit because it's Anthony Daniels.
Yes.
Mr. Feeney.
Yep.
So every time he's talking, like I always just picture, I always just picture him in my mind. Like it's hard to like separate the voice for me just because I really loved Boy Meets World. I love Saint Elsewhere. There's another movie that he was in that I really love called Her Alibi, which is a terrible Tom Selleck movie, but it's like one of my favorites. I mean, it's a bad movie, but I love it. And so it's like every time I hear his voice, like I just can't not picture him. So he's saying all these things to him, and I just picture, you know, with the glasses and the mustache being all prim and proper, like, well, Michael, you know, these bloodhounds are awful creatures.
That's probably exactly the way it was written.
Probably was. Yeah. Yeah. So they track him down, get him to tell him where the criminals are going or which way they went. And so he follows them, and somehow he was able to escape. Is it? And I think it's because he thinks he's gonna. He says he's gonna throw up.
Right.
And yeah. He says he's gonna be sick.
Yeah.
They pull over. The bank robbers realize that the cops have the watch.
That's right.
So yeah. They pull over to figure out.
At a Christmas tree stand.
Right.
Yeah.
Because naturally. It is Christmas.
Yeah, you gotta
figure out. One of the three bank robbers wants just to off the kid.
You know,
and the others are like, well, if you do that, there's going to be even more heat on us.
Yep.
And so when they're out of the car discussing that, they leave him in the car by himself, and he just hot wires it and drives away.
And then nobody notices that.
Right.
Because the bank robbers go back and try to find a car. Nobody comes out and says, oh, you just ran over, you know, that car just ran over you.
Right.
There's nothing.
Well, you know, obviously, if you're a vagrant teenager, you can hotwire a car.
Well, it's because he's a no problem. Gypsy. He's a
gypsy. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You know. Yep, he just knows how to do it.
Right, right. And then they casually walk up to a car, and the door's locked, but there happens to be a convertible with the top down.
Yes.
And so they just casually get in it and drive away. You know. It's like nobody runs out, hey, that's my car, or nothing.
Again, I love this perfectly coincidental storytelling. You know, it's like, well, thank goodness this happens. Thank goodness that was. I mean, it works out so well. But yeah, so he's going and he runs out of gas.
Uh-huh.
And so they're chasing him, even though they're like, they're going ridiculously slow.
Right.
At least that's the payoff about finding the convenient car.
Yeah.
At least there was, you know, something against that.
Yeah.
He's so slow.
Right. It was a piece of junk car.
Yeah. Yes, it was.
So maybe whoever owned it was like, good, someone's taking it from me.
All right. Insurance.
That's $10 in insurance money.
Yeah. Right. Insurance paycheck. Here I come.
Yeah. Right.
But because he runs out of gas, they are able to catch up with him anyway. Mm-hmm. And they chase him into like this big, like wheat field or cornfield.
Cornfield.
I
think so.
And of course, Kit and Michael and the sister, because you know you gotta have the beautiful lady sitting next to you. They manage to catch up, and Kit is able to somehow like sense or see where he is.
And it gets a camera on him in the middle of that cornfield too.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what 15 years before they could use satellites for that. So I just don't know where that camera was, but hey, it's Kit.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's whatever the plot needs them to do at the time. Exactly. Yeah, because nowadays they would have like used Google Maps or something and zoomed in on him, or you know, some sort of satellite going on. But yeah, back then, I don't know about that. Or drones, you know, they would have launched a drone or something, but Kit's able to do it. They're able to, and one of the crooks activates what, the thresher? Is that what it's called?
Yeah, it's like the small combine kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
And so the Kit's able to stop that, and thank goodness he's indestructible, because man, that would have been terrible.
Yeah. Right.
I kept looking so hard when he was against it to see if there was any damage, because I mean, I don't know how they did that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really cool. A Kit is awesome. The more we talk about it, the more it's like, man, I want a Kit so bad.
Yeah.
Definitely. So I just need like $1 billion and supercomputer, but oh well.
Yeah.
So then it's like this cool hand to hand fight, you know, it's like Michael against the three guys. And I mean,
is it the three,
or maybe it's just the two? Yeah.
I don't know what happened to the third one.
Tino, the boy
gets one, doesn't he?
He gets one.
It's one. That's one that Michael's fighting, though.
That's true. Yeah, right. Yeah, it is.
So I don't know what happened to the third one. So I'm only left to believe that the sister took him out off camera.
I like this reading. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, let's go for that.
Yep. It's a good feminist tale here.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Yeah. So they ended up taking him down. The day is saved, and he's going to work. He's going to go with his sister in the end. And you know, Michael's going to go to his ball, I guess.
Yeah. Right. And not a tuxedo.
Of course.
Brown corduroy.
Naturally. I mean, what else would you wear to a fancy ball?
I will say that was probably one of the worst wrap-ups I've ever seen.
Uh-huh. In the show,
Knight Rider. It was like he hugs the sister and the cousin, I mean the son, I mean the brother, sorry about that, and picks him up and says, Merry Christmas, and that's like, that's it.
That's it, yep.
Yeah. And this is all supposed to be the same day, so they all change clothes too?
Yeah, it's odd. It is, but you know, it's I do like how Kit ends up, you know, they're talking about earlier, and they're talking about like what kind of presents to give each other, you know, what's appropriate. And he mentions Argyle socks. And so, you know, they have to pick up the Argyle socks, but no, it turns out it's not for him. It's for Devin. It's for Devin. Yep. Classic switcheroo there. But this, you know, I think overall, this was a fun episode. I mean, I don't remember like a ton of them, because like I said earlier, I mostly just remembered like the car stuff, because that was the coolest part to me as a kid. But I thought it was fun. I mean, yes, they say gypsy way too many times, and there's like a lot of stereotypes in here. But I, you know, I like how the sister's, you know, trying to make it on her own. She has her shop and all that, and you know, she doesn't go back to that ex-boyfriend. She's like, no. Nope. Stands up for herself. So I really like that. And just, of course, all the stuff Kit can do is always amazing. But,
no, yeah. I give it two David Hasselhoff thumbs up.
Oh, wow. Two Hoffs.
Yeah, two Hoffs. Hey, that's, there we go. It's two Hoffs.
That's got to be our new rating system.
Yeah. There you go.
Christmas clatter.
Yeah.
I give this five Hoffs. Or
yeah. I give it, I give it five Hoffs and one BA breakfast.
There you go, yeah.
There you go.
No, but this, it really was. I enjoyed the episode. I wish it was a little more Christmassy.
Yes.
I think it would have made it just a little bit better.
Yeah. It did have a Linus moment. It was a little.
That's right. Hey, to the podcast, we're stealing your things.
Yes, I steal everybody's things.
But we're going to call it instead. Hops. We're going to call it the Grinch moment.
The Grinch moment. There you go. Yeah, it did have a Hoff moment.
Hoff. There you go. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, Tino comes around and realizes that there's a good way to a better way to live.
Right, and he's. And they alluded to he was illiterate, so he said he's going to, you know, some classes to learn how to read and then get into computers and stuff like that. So
that
kind of set the foundation that you just assume that he's going to do all those things and be just fine.
Yep. Yeah, which is always nice. I like a nice happy ending in my movies and shows.
Yeah,
I am a sucker for that. And there's a lot of good dramas out there that are amazing, and they're awarded, you know, have so many awards. But to me, it's just like, it's such a downer. I'd rather have a good happy ending.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was a nice little end to it. But yeah, I would have liked to have seen like more Christmas decorations. Or can you imagine if like Hoff had tried to put like the Rudolph nose and like the antlers?
That'd be great. Well, he's got that little red beamy across.
He does have the red. Yeah, that's kind of Rudolphish.
Yeah.
So he just needed the antlers then.
Right.
There you go. I mean, in all the songs, it would be nice if they would do such, you know, have one song, Christmas song.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Because
yeah.
they cover, like as we've already said earlier in the show, they cover amazing songs.
Uh-huh. Well, don't they're singing. They sing a couple of them, don't they? Or am I thinking of, I might be thinking of something else, actually.
There might have been one playing at the bank opening, or maybe that's what singing it
was. Yeah,
that's it. That's the only place I seems like I remember one at.
Yeah.
So they hit that Christmas tree stand twice, two different times, and I don't remember anything there.
No.
Which is kind of odd. Also, that's like where you would expect. Mm-hmm. You know, you want people to be in the Christmas spirit there to buy your trees.
Right.
Exactly.
Right. So. But no, they're going to play Fleetwood Mac instead.
Well, you know.
Or Fleetwood Mac like.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Fleetwood Mac esque.
Yeah.
Macwood Fleet.
Yeah.
Well, really, there's only two songs that are gypsy. It's the Fleetwood Mac and then Sonny and Cher. So I think they chose the best one.
I think they did too, yeah. Oh man, yeah. If you're gonna rip off one, definitely do Lindsey Buckingham and Stevie Nicks version of it. Yes. Yeah. But no, this is fun. One thing I did want to get into was some of the powers of Kit. So Kit, another thing that I didn't remember was The KIT stands for Knight Industries 2000. Later on some of the spinoff shows and like some of the TV movies, it was like Knight Industries 3000 when it was more advanced. And then there was going to be like another version that was like Knight Industries 4000. But, you know, they still called them KIT, even though I think at that point it would be KIFT.
But yeah, it just jumped up to 10,000.
Right? Why did they do that? That made so much more sense. Yeah. But so, of course, he's got his AI, which is cool. Yep. So he's got his alpha circuit, which is like his main control system. That's like what lets, you know, the CPU actually drive the car.
Okay.
And then, of course, he's got his, and I love this. We were talking about that that polymer is called Trihelical Plasteel 1000 Molecular Bonded Shell.
Wow.
It's like the most, like, let's see how many pseudoscientific words we could throw in. It's like very 80s right there. He's got his pyroclastic lamination. So that's what, like, it's like that heat resistant coating as well. Yeah. So not only is he indestructible, but he can resist up to 800 degrees, which is awesome. Wow. Power system is jets. So he can go 0 to 60 in 2 seconds.
Oof.
Yeah. That's talk about whiplash there.
Yeah.
And he's got electromagnetic hyper vacuum disc brakes. So he's got a 14 foot braking distance, which is like, nothing.
Yes.
When you're going fast. Of course, his turbo boost, can get him up to in excess of 200. You mentioned that, 212 or something miles per hour. Of course, his voice synthesizer, voice projection, so he can project his voice other places, which I don't know who would ever think about doing that. Like, why would you add that to the car?
Well, he did that. He hollered at Michael when he was in that shack.
Yes, he did. Yeah.
To let him know that he's getting ready to be ran over by a car.
And I've seen a few episodes where he makes it sound like the police are coming.
Yes, yes.
You know, the sirens coming.
Yeah, so. He's got his ventriloquist mode. And
right.
Yes.
Let's throw your voice. So that beam, you know, with the red lights that we were talking about, his Rudolph nose, that's actually called his anamorphic equalizer.
Okay.
And it can see. Here's where we go. It's a fiber optic array of electronic eyes that can actually see all the wavelengths of light, especially X-ray and infrared as well. Okay. So that makes sense how he can kind of, you know, sense different things, but that camera trick is still kind of iffy there.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, he's got like a whole list of features here, oil slicks, smoke screens, flamethrowers, tear gas. I mean, like, you name it, he's got it. And I mean, if you go to Wikipedia, you can find all this stuff.
Yeah.
There's like way more than
ejection seats
than I want to name here, but so I thought that was kind of cool. Yeah, so there were several other spinoffs from Knight Rider that, again, I didn't remember at all. But there was like a couple of TV movies. There was like Knight Rider 2000 was one of them.
I remember that one.
You remember that one?
That was with the Dodge Viper, right?
I think so, yeah. Yeah, Knight Rider 2000, Knight Rider 2010. Team Knight Rider was another one.
The 2010, I think, was with the
Mustang,
yeah. The new when Mustang changed its body style to
Yeah.
I never seen either one of those.
I never have either. And they mentioned, like, in one of them, they mentioned something called like the Shadow or Shadow Organization or whatever, and it's supposed to be like KIT essentially and Michael Knight. And so they even go to a grave, like where the team even goes to a grave and it has like Michael Knight and it says, you know, it has a little eulogy, whatever. But then, as far as I can tell, it seems like he's actually still alive. They just, like, that's when the Michael Knight persona died, the alias. Oh. So, because they're like, he's the only one that, like, never failed in any of his missions. And I was like, that's right. Hoff never fails.
No, ever.
That's why Germans love him.
I was just going to say that.
Y'all remember basketball or not basketball, dodgeball? They're like playing against the German team or something, and David Hasselhoff is like the coach and he's just chewing them out for their failure. That's like the best.
Well, I love in Guardians of the Galaxy, I think too, how Star-Lord was the perfect father, because he didn't have a father, was David Hasselhoff. Right.
Yep. I think he even sings on the soundtrack to Guardians 2. There's a new song, and I think he even sings it.
Oh, okay. I got to check
like,
that out.
It's like the Guardians disco or something like that. I mean, it's like a disco-esque thing, and I think David Hasselhoff actually sings that.
Yeah, one of my most vivid memories of David Hasselhoff was at a very serious time in the world when the Berlin Wall was coming down.
Oh yeah,
and there's a great video footage of him in this jacket with lights on it, blinking, and he's singing this song about freedom on top of the Berlin Wall as people are sledgehammering it down. Wow. It's like the only person that could be on top of that wall with this light of this jacket light going off like that is David Hasselhoff.
Yep, wow. I agree.
for one, how did he get over there so fast? You know, it's
like, hey man, he's the Hoff. He probably took Kit over there. Yeah,
probably.
But, he may have been on tour in West Germany.
That's true. Well, he might have been. Yeah,
he might have been. But I still remember seeing that on the news. He's up there giving this concert on top of the wall as it's come down, and that jacket is just blinging.
That's hilarious.
The only thing I remember of the song is he kept singing Freedom. I don't even know what the song was, one of his or what it was. But.
Or George Michael's Freedom. I don't know. I don't know. And it's funny because I remember watching that, but I don't remember him up there, which is something I would have remembered. So maybe I was just watching a different channel or something. Just they're like, we're not going to cover that.
CNN was like, we're not covering that.
Yeah. Let's just video this part over here. Oh man. But yeah, so there was quite a few, there's like a whole series of different Knight Rider things and another 2008 television series as well. And then even in 85, there was a spinoff series called Code of Vengeance that starred Charles Taylor, who was another Vietnam veteran. They kind of retooled. He was like in an episode of Knight Rider as like a CIA agent and then or FBI agent. And then they like instead made him like a drifter. And then it was just a weird spinoff and it didn't last.
I don't remember, but this seems like this would have been the perfect TV show to turn into a Saturday morning cartoon.
Right? Like this.
And I don't know if they did that or not. It doesn't seem like they did.
I don't think they did either.
I remember like the A-Team being a Saturday morning cartoon and a few other
TV shows. The Dukes of Hazzard was also a Saturday morning cartoon.
But this seemed like that would have been a perfect Saturday morning cartoon.
Well, especially because this is like right around the time of Transformers, Mask, G.I. Joe. I mean, like vehicles that were high-tech were like in, you know, you wanted stuff like that.
And I don't remember a lot of toy lines from it either.
Mm-mm. Yeah. I don't either. Which is, again, that's insane. They could have made like bank with all this stuff, you know, Michael Knight leather jackets or something. I mean, it could have been, I mean, it seems like they would have capitalized on it, but I don't know why they didn't.
Or even a remote control car.
Well, they did have a remote control car. Cause I remember,
did they? Okay.
I remember my sister was a little bit of a tomboy growing up. And I remember for Christmas one year, she got a Kit remote control car, and that was a real cheap one.
Oh, okay. Oh wow.
It was like, it's like one of those with the trigger that goes back and forth to go forwards and backwards and the little steering wheel on the side.
Yeah.
And it was only, I don't know, probably a foot long maybe in size. It wasn't a very big one at all. And it didn't work that great. So it looked just like Kit, and it had the red thing. Well, here's the thing. I'm going to say this. It looked just like Kit, and it had the red thing on the front, but it could have been a knockoff lookalike.
Oh, I gotcha, yeah.
You know, but to us, it was Kit.
Like, I know that they had to stop saying that it was a Trans Am because so many people were, like, actually going to try to buy it because they wanted one just like Kit. And, of course, there is none just like Kit.
Right.
So they actually had to like drop it from the show, which I thought was kind of cool.
Yeah.
That it had that kind of an impact, you know. It's like the DeLorean.
Yeah.
You know, everybody wanted a DeLorean after Back to the Future, but of course then it folded.
But, right. They're not that fun to ride in.
No, definitely not. That's why Doc Brown had to like totally pimp it out.
Go with the train.
Right. Friend of mine in high school had a DeLorean,
Really? That's awesome. Uh-huh.
Wow. him and his dad bought it and rebuilt it, and it was sweet. And me and him hung her up quite a bit, so we'd drive through the town weekends in it, and you know, get all the looks. That's but awesome. The thing is, you couldn't go through drive-throughs because the window barely rolled down, and the front was the trunk. So if you had a bunch of homework, you had to like lay all your books completely flat, or the trunk would shut because it was so shallow.
Wow. Oh yeah, so,
but it was fast. Didn't have power steering, but it was fast.
So there's probably a reason why it folded.
Yeah.
Well, I would have liked, and I still would like, honestly, one of those, you know, black Trans Am. I think it'd be pretty awesome.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah. One thing I did notice watching this episode, and I thought it was cool at the time when I was a kid, but now that I've been driving for many years, that's got to be the world's worst steering wheel to drive with.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, yeah. I think because Kit can also, you know, autopilot.
Right.
I think they're like, yeah, whatever. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. There's no way to turn hard hand over hand, you know.
So. Yeah, that's true.
That's a good point.
So one thing that I didn't remember, because this is like Hasselhoff in like his prime, you know. Uh-huh. He's really young. He's got the swagger and everything. And one thing I didn't remember was he kind of actually looks a little like puffy to me. And uh-huh. I think it's because I remember mostly seeing him when he's older. And so, you know, as you age, you get a little more gaunt and stuff. Yeah. And so I'm just used to see him a little more thin. And when I saw him there, I mean, his skin is, he's got that sheen that young people have. Yeah. Young people, yeah. Gosh, what am I saying? But, you know, but you know, I mean, you know, youngsters, you know, but I mean, he seemed like he was a little more full. I suppose in the face, like he had more of a baby face than I remember him having, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. I understand that. I thought he had more puffier hair than I remember.
His hair. Yes. You
know, yes. Especially in the back. He had like this perm thing in the back, which I remember kind of being popular in the '80s, but he did have a lot of hair.
And still the women loved it.
Right.
Right. And the Germans, don't forget.
And the Germans, of course, yeah. Oh man, Tino was originally supposed to be like a scruffy 14-year-old kind of guy, but of course they aged him up a little bit. And he's in the original script, he was supposed to be a lot more like sympathetic. You know, he goes to visit his dead father in the funeral parlor, and he's going to make some money so that he can take care of his sister. And of course, all that's changed. With rewrites and whatnot. I mean, I think, Michael, you were saying that, you know, before we started recording, I think you were even saying that in the original script that it was a lot more having to do with the ball.
Yeah, I thought I read it that the end of it, there's a little bit of the April and Devin show up for the banquet at the end of it. But that was, I don't know why they didn't do that.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it would have been pretty good, you know, especially because it's a Christmas ball. So you would think it would be, it would really add to the Christmas atmosphere.
Well, just as a story point, they made all the, you know, it was a big thing in the beginning.
Yeah.
And then it just doesn't happen.
Yeah. They could at least have Michael and Kit driving up in the back of the semi truck.
Yeah. Yes.
We didn't get any of that this episode.
No.
That was always one of my favorite parts.
So. Yeah, yep. That was always really cool. Yeah. Same thing. The original script actually called for more of the Christmas spirit. So Michael was supposed to be listening to Christmas carols in one scene, and there was going to be more decorations along the streets in another scene and things like that. And I don't know if it was for budgetary reasons, maybe because they spent so much money on the songs or what. I don't know. But yeah, they ended up not going with that, which I think would have been pretty cool. But oh well. So I have to ask, guys, what would you say would be your happiest memory of Knight Rider?
Well, I'd have to go back to what I said before. Even though I don't remember individual shows that much, I just remember it being a time that, you know, mom and dad, my sister and myself were just kind of gathered around the TV and you know, sharing that experience every week. And there's a few shows through the years I could check off and say that we did that too, and Knight Rider was definitely one that we made sure to see.
Right on.
I would probably say, you know, the hour I took out of my day at Universal Studios to actually sit, you know, for like a minute in kit.
That's still so cool. I'm sure you have tons of pictures all over.
Somewhere my dad does. I'll have to ask where he is, and if they do, I'll obviously send it to you guys.
Oh, yeah, yeah, it'd be awesome. For me, it's funny because I remember watching it, but there's not like one specific moment that kind of sticks out. So I think out of every, like out of my whole life, I think I'd probably preparing for this show would be my happiest memory. Just because I my memories are really vague, and they're mostly of just Kit driving around or, you know, doing, you know, something cool, a cool jump or you know, something like that. So I can't really point out a specific point, but you know, I always like talking with you guys. So, you know, definitely preparing for the show would be.
I wish I had a car that made that sound, by the way.
Yeah.
That sound is so cool. Mm-hmm.
I wish I had a car with turbo boost.
Yeah.
Because it would make getting
for 21
to work,
cars.
Getting out of traffic, I think, would be a lot better.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Especially a rush hour. Just press the button and go.
But, go to turbo.
So now we come to my favorite part of the show, which I like to call Gag Me with a Spoon. So this is, of course, where we do our best impressions of our least favorite part of the show. Mm-hmm. I'll let you guys as the guests go first. And, of course, the winner, since you guys have both won stickers already at this point, I'll decide what you're going to get later. But but I'll let you guys go first, just kind of set up the scene. So we'll start with Todd, and then, Michael, you can go after that, and then I'll bring up the rear.
Well, I'm not going to set up a scene because I think the Gag Me with the Spoon part happened about 37 times during the show. And I hope it don't take anybody else's, but it was one of the many times that Tino looked at Michael or his sister and went, "I can take care of myself."
That was good. I love it. Well, you didn't take mine, so that's good.
No, yeah.
What about you, Michael?
Well, there was one I don't have it right now, but it was it's said in almost every episode of a Knight Rider. That's why I chose it. But after Tino's shack is destroyed by the robbers, Kit says, "Michael, are you all right?" That was it. Probably in every episode, that's Kit to me.
Yeah, I gotcha. Mm-hmm. So for me, I also chose a Tino one, although it was really close between a Tino and a Michael quote. But this was like the cringiest part, and it's mostly because of his facial expressions, which I can do, but I know it's not great for the audio medium of podcasts. So instead, I'll just try my best to do his voice, and it's like right after he gets in the car, and he's trying to make a deal with Michael. And, you know, that, hey, you know, I'll drop the lawsuits or whatever. Because at this point, Michael still thinks that he broke his leg. It's like, I'll drop the lawsuits and cops and all that stuff if you just let me go or whatever. And so, you know, Kit's telling him, like, okay, well, don't trust him. He's lying, whatever. And Tino goes, "Who asked you? Hey, you got a talking car." It's like the worst.
Yep. The people, we should, you know, have... We should keep track of how many people said, "This car just talked."
Yeah, for real.
Yeah,
if you were to like binge Knight Rider and do a shot like every time or something, I mean, you'd be pretty plastered.
Yes, you would.
So I almost came down to a quote when Michael and Kit are going back and forth about what to get each other for Christmas.
Oh, yes.
And Michael said, "How about a nice set of retreads and some mud flaps?"
Yes.
Yeah, I was thinking about Michael when he was talking about, you know, a good part of Christmas is about the getting, because, you know, even though it's good to give, you got to have someone that gets.
Yeah. Yes.
Well,
yeah.
What?
Well, there was the part where he sums up Christmas. It's like, what is a guy in a red suit have to do with a religious holiday?
It's true. Oh man. This was definitely very fun. But at this point, I got to say, well, G.I. Joe, they taught us that knowing is half the battle. So what do you guys think is the other half of the battle?
Being a gypsy, so you know how to so you know how to take care of yourself.
There you go. Yes. A stereotypical gypsy. Yeah, yes, yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Very stereotypical.
Yep. Yeah.
I would say
Not necessarily the opinion of the host or anybody participating in the podcast. Yes,
we apologize to all those out there of Romani background.
No, I would say pronouncing the polycarbonate molded plastic shell correctly.
Yeah. How much mumbo jumbo can you put into it?
Exactly.
Techno babble, I think is what it's called. No, those are good. Those are better than mine. Mine was, because I kind of already said mine, but if knowing is half the battle, the other half is that if you want to get your ex back, don't sell out her brother to some bank robbers.
There you go.
Yep. I'm making notes of that right now.
Yep. Everybody write that down. Write it down. Yeah. Put it in your phone. Set the alarm to go off every 30 minutes. But I think right now we're going to drive on over to our Chatting with the Little spot. Hi, welcome to another episode of Chatting with the Littles. I have little number one with me.
Hello.
Today we're talking about Knight Rider. Do you remember Knight Rider?
I don't know what that is.
Remember with the talking car?
Yeah.
Do you want a talking car?
No.
No? Why not?
I think it will bother me all the time because I don't like the music you put on in the car.
What kind of music would you put on?
High School Musical.
Okay. All right. But would you want a car that has turbo boost?
No.
Why not?
I might crash into a city.
That you probably might. Yep. Well, I think we're going to return to our regularly scheduled program. Guys, it's been so much fun talking with you. You know, it gave me a chance to, when you brought up Knight Rider, it really made me just remember a lot of things. And while it wasn't some of the strongest memories I've had, they were always they were very warm memories. Because I do remember walking in like my grandma's or my aunt's house and just seeing my cousins, you know, watching it, and I just stop and just, you know, watch the cool car chases and then, you know, go play. So thank you guys for bringing it up and thanks for being on. What do you guys want to plug?
Well, I'll plug Christmas Clatter Podcast. You can find it wherever you can find podcasts at, and follow me on Facebook, Instagram at Christmas Clatter Podcast and at Clatter Podcast on Twitter.
Right on. Yeah, definitely check it out. It's always a lot of fun. Always. Some cool stuff. The miscast, recast option is, that's a cool segment that I love. Because you've had some quite controversial picks there.
And a teaser, I don't see that changing on our July 15th episode.
Ooh, okay. All right. Wow. Looking forward to it. Nice.
This is the first Saturday Morning Mafia post or a podcast.
Yes.
Yes, it is. Yep. Yep. Saturday Morning Mafia. Yeah. So I'm not going to explain what that is yet. But.
Nope. Yeah. Nope. Just know that's us.
That's, yep, that is
us. Exactly.
The first of, I hope, quite a few.
Uh-huh. I hope so. Yeah. This was fun.
It was. It was a lot of fun. So thanks again for being on. And I'm going to say, let's make like Donner and Blitzen and hit the turbo boost to find us as always on our social media pages, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And if you're feeling as awesome as Michael while he's driving Kit, then please go ahead and leave us a review on iTunes. Not only does it help us reach more people, but you also get a free sticker. I mean, can't go wrong with that. Now, don't forget to vote for your favorite. And I've got to end with later, dudes. Wait, what did you want to say?
Challenge time.
Challenge.
Our challenge today is that you guys get to make a little box, a box car that does not talk, or it can if you want to, if you put a little box voice inside. You hit a special button, but make your own little cardboard car and put it on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter.
Ooh, that sounds like a fun idea.
Yeah, it is. Later, dudes.